Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bless you all this evening. Truly it's a privilege and an honor just to sit before you again tonight just to minister the word of God. You know, we're living in very difficult times. And in times like these, we truly need the encouragement and the uplifting of the brethren. Of the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so tonight, I will not be long before you. Just want to go into the word. But before we do, I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this opportunity just to gather online again. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And that is your presence that makes the difference. Hallelujah. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us in a special way. Cause your word to make the difference. Allow there to be a great impact that, Lord Jesus, we truly may be changed and live the life that you have called us to live. Father, I place the rest of the service into your hands. I place my mind, my tongue, my entire being into your hands and ask that you would speak. Prepare our hearts to receive your word and help us to change as you give us the ability to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And if we could just turn to the scriptures tonight, we could look at Matthew chapter 18. If we could pull it up in the King James Version, just for this one particular text, Matthew chapter 18. And we'll read a few verses, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. And I'll read, it says, we'll go to verse 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Praise the Lord. And the focus verse is verse 3, where Jesus says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. And the theme or topic for tonight is, are you converted? Are you converted? And as we look at the scriptures, the first verse of the scripture says, at this time. If you could just open it up one more time on the screen, we just want to look at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Thank you. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in order to understand this, we have to look back at the chapter, the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 17. And what was happening in this chapter is that just after Jesus had displayed his majesty and displayed the awesome power of God in casting out the devil out of the young boy, who our pastor spoke about this morning, whose father brought him to Jesus, who the disciples were not able to help. But Jesus, by the omnipotent power of God, cast out that devil. It was in that same chapter that after Jesus had cast out this demon, that they then entered into a house and Peter asked Jesus, they asked him, how come we weren't able to cast out this devil? And Jesus responded to them and said, this kind of demonic force, it does not go out so easily. It doesn't go out just by your own human intention. It doesn't go out by you speaking harshly or roughly to it. It doesn't respect when you raise your voice or when you clench your fists or when you make any gestures towards it. But he says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And Jesus shows that he is a man of authority and a man of power. He shows that this kind of power is actually not found in standing up with human strength, but it is in bowing down in human weakness to the authority of the Lord God. And so he says, this kind of power, it comes on your knees. It comes in time of consecration. It comes in times of humility before the Lord. And so we recognize that before he even started his ministry, he spent 40 days humbling himself, led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And he was tested for 40 days in the wilderness. But it was in that time of humility, in that time of fasting, in that time of weakness, in that time of putting aside the desires of the flesh, that Jesus was given the power to overcome every kind of demon that would come along his way. And so after this brilliant display of power and majesty, the scripture then tells us that they went into Capernaum. And when they got into Capernaum, the Bible says that some men came to Peter and they said, those who collected the tax and the tribute money came to Peter and they said, doesn't your master pay tribute also? Because at that time they had not yet received any tribute from Jesus or his disciple. And so they said, does your master think that he's above the law? Does he feel that because he can work all these miracles and cast out all these devils, that he is above the law of Caesar? Does he believe that he is above the laws that are in the land? And so Jesus said to Peter, of whom do the kings of the earth take tribute? Is it of the strangers or is it of their own children? Do they take that money from their own children? Do they expect their children to pay taxes to them? And Peter says, no, definitely not. They will never take tribute or tax money from their children. It's of the strangers. It's of those people who are not citizens. It's of those people who do not have the same status. And Jesus says, so then the children are free, signifying that in his position, he should be free from and exempt from it. But he says to Peter, lest we offend them, I want you to go down to the sea, cast your hook into the water, and the first fish that you find, you're going to find a coin in its mouth. You're going to find the exact amount that we will need to pay the tribute. Go and take that money and give it to them. And so Peter went and took the hook and cast it into the sea. And just as Jesus said, a fish grabbed hold of the hook. Peter must have been shocked at just how quickly a fish jumped and grabbed onto the hook. And so when Peter opened its mouth, there was the coin found the exact amount that they would need for the tribute money. And Peter must have been shocked at just how effective the Lord's word was. And that teaches us that obedience brings results very simply. We don't have to work up human strength in order to produce the results of God. But all it takes is to be obedient and to humble ourselves. And so Peter took the money and he paid the tribute. Now, the scripture in Matthew 17 ends there. And then Matthew 18 verse 1 says, at the same time. So at the same time, while Jesus was teaching Peter about being humble, about not offending, about humbling oneself to the point of submission even to your own enemies. Because the Jews were in essence enemies to the Romans. They were slaves by the Romans. But Jesus says, listen, I have been clothed with the Spirit of God. And I've come to show you how God operates. And so now, operating in the Spirit of God, he says, take this coin and pay them. And while he is telling Peter that, some other disciples come back and their focus is, Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom? At the same time, while Jesus was showing Peter a demonstration of what greatness really looks like, at the same time, while he was showing Peter that even after I just cast out a devil that no man could cast out, that no Roman could cast out by their incantations, that no Jew could cast out by whatever means they thought they were casting out devils. There was no exorcist in town that could cast out this devil. But after doing that, I want to show you where the true power is. So Jesus says the true power is in submission. The true power is in yielding oneself to God and to his laws. And so at the same time that Jesus is showing this practical demonstration of greatness, his disciples who should be following him and carrying that same spirit now come in with another spirit. And as they come in with this spirit into the house, they ask who's the greatest. And Jesus, being the teacher of teachers, decides to now show them or teach them another practical lesson. And Jesus then calls a child to himself. And when the child gets to him, the child comes right away with all obedience, with no fussing, with no refusal. The child comes humbly. And Jesus sets this child in the midst. And he says, verily I say to you, or truly I'm telling you the truth, unless you humble yourself as this little child and be converted, you will not see or enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying to us as believers? Unless we take on the same approach that this young child has, this child who has just come to the Lord in obedience. And it's not just the obedience that the Lord is bringing attention to. But as grown men, they're used to looking at children as subjects who should be seen and not heard. And you may have heard it growing up in a Jamaican household, possibly as I heard it. Children are to be seen and not heard. And so Jesus pulls the child into their midst. He says, all right, since you don't want to hear the child, I want you to see him. And so as they look at the child, now Jesus says, now you're going to look at him and hear me. Unless you be converted as this little child. What do you mean converted, Jesus? What does that word even mean? That word converted, when you look at it from the original language that Matthew wrote this scripture in, which was Greek, that word means to turn around. That means a complete turn. The word conversion means that if you are heading in one direction, if you are heading south, then to convert or be converted means that you're going to turn not west, not east, but you're going to turn in the opposite direction and head north. And so while the disciples are looking at this little child who is so small, who seems so insignificant, probably quite powerless, if they were to wrestle or do an arm wrestling match, if that child was to sit down with John or James, the sons of thunder, he would possibly lose in a split second. He wouldn't stand a chance in possibly most exercises they were to compete with him in. Couldn't beat them in a race. Couldn't beat them in any form of sport. Couldn't outthink them in math or science. But Jesus says, unless you turn around and become like this child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm sure that they may have been boggled by this statement. Because he, as a child, this child is so small. He's so weak. This child seems so meager and insignificant. This child has to listen to his parents. I'm a grown man. Matter of fact, I chose to leave my business to follow you, Jesus. I had income. I had money. I was doing decent. But what do you mean be converted like this little child? Why does it seem like you're trying to teach me some form of backward theology, some form of backward doctrine? But Jesus says, verily, not just I say to you, but verily, meaning there is no debate, meaning this is not something that you can reason out and decide that, you know what, this is something that we could interpret in one of many ways. He says, no, verily, truly, unless you humble yourself, unless you be converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And it seemed that the disciples were walking with a different mindset, but they were expecting to end up in the same location as Jesus. They were expecting to have the same power. They were expecting to enter the same kingdom. After all, they were looking for their Messiah. And every Jew from generation to generation were looking for the Messiah, the Savior, the coming one who would come and destroy their enemies and release them from all bondage. And it was with this mentality the Jews were seeking their Savior. And now that the Savior is in the midst, the Savior is telling them, convert and be like a child. Convert and be submissive. Convert and pay tribute. Convert and honor those who are in authority. Those who despitefully use you. Those who say all manner of evil against you. Convert and be like this. Convert and accept persecution. Matter of fact, if one man smites you on the cheek, convert and give him the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. If they ask you to go 1 mile. After going 1 mile, there was a law that they called the law of conscription, where they were expected by the Roman government to go for 1 mile if a Jew, if a Roman soldier told a Jew to do so. And after doing that, they were free to walk off, and they had to carry a burden, whatever it was that the soldier wanted them to carry for 1 mile. And once that mile was up, then they were now free to go and leave, drop the burden. But Jesus says, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, convert and go an extra mile. Why would Jesus ask someone to carry an extra burden? when it should be released? Why is it that you're asking me to turn my cheek when I already got a blow, Jesus? Why is it that you're expecting me to go through more trouble when I've already just gone through a crisis? Why is it that there's more issues coming? And Jesus answers, it's so that you can be converted. And until you're converted, you won't be able to enter into the kingdom. Why is that? And to this afternoon, as I lay in my bed, just taking a little nap, the Lord just gave me a dream. And in the dream, I was driving in this car, a big, looked like a pickup truck, and I was driving up this mountain. And as I was driving, I saw a car pull up in front of me. And when the car pulled up in front of me, it opened the door. And I was about to drive through. It was a tight space to get by the car so I could keep going, because it seemed that there was an accident ahead. But when I tried to drive through, to kind of position myself to drive through, someone opened the door and got out of the backseat, and I could not drive past. And I was stuck there, so I couldn't get to where I wanted to go. And then I had to get out of the car. And when I got out the car and walked up ahead of that vehicle that was stopped, what I saw then was another vehicle. And I was taken up into the vehicle. And when I looked, the vehicle was crowded and there was children all over the place. And when I looked around the vehicle, I recognized it was a school bus with little children. And I got to the back of the bus and there was still no seat. And someone showed me that there was one spot, one tiny little spot that I would have to crouch to get into. And I had to, as Jamaicans would say, small up yourself. I had to small up myself to get into that position. And when I got into the seat, I recognized it was so tiny and so cramped, but that was the only spot on this school bus. And so when I got on the bus now, the bus started to drive. And we were driving at a rapid speed and going down a hill. And I recognized while we were driving that when we finally got to our destination and we pulled up, I was on the phone with our pastor, Pastor James, in this particular part of the dream. And I could see where he was telling me about how he had gone through, he had worked on something, he had developed something to be more effective. And as he was telling me this, I could see where he had grown in the dream from something a while back to this point. And as we pulled up to the destination, right when we stopped the car, a little baby appeared in front of the car. And it was my daughter, Liberty. And as I woke from the dream, the last thing I saw was the baby. And I've heard the voice say, when a person is converted. And the Lord showed me through that dream that the end goal is to be like a little child. The end goal of the Christian experience is to be like a small child. And that small child was demonstrated through the life of Jesus Christ. If we can go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And Brother Jordan, you can pull it up in the NLT version. And we'll look at it. We'll look at from verses 3. And we'll go down to 11. Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. Verse 3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we look at these verses, if we can go back to verse 3, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. To the disciples, to James, to John, to those who are so enamored and so fascinated and attracted to status, Jesus saying to them, be humble. Don't think of yourselves as yourselves as better than others. Don't be selfish, because when you want to be greatest in the kingdom, what happens is, in the kingdom of men, you may be greatest, but in the kingdom of God, you are the least. And so the kingdom of God is almost an exact inverted manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. Because what the kingdom of darkness exalts, the kingdom of light abases. What the kingdom of darkness promotes, the kingdom of light shuns. And so in the kingdom of God, the way to becoming one who is endowed with power, the one who is filled with authority, is through humility and weakness. That's why Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Because I now have learned to submit myself to the Lord. And Jesus Christ embodied this concept of being converted as a child. Because he came, and the Bible says that being found in form as a man, that he humbled himself and was obedient to God. And it is as children that we learn obedience. When a man is grown and has come to full maturity in the natural realm, you find that he will say things like, no one can't tell me nothing. I've heard persons say that, now that I'm a certain age, you can't talk to me. I am my own man. I'm a big man. How could you talk to me like that? I'm a big woman. How could you talk down to me like that? Only children should be talked to like that. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ embodied what a true child is. One who's converted, a child of God, is one who can endure persecution, can endure hardship. One who is converted is one who can be spoken evil against. And Jesus says, blessed are you when they speak all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. I know that I'm converted if I'm able to endure criticism without speaking back. I know that I am converted if I'm able to endure harsh words and return a soft answer. I know that I'm converted when people turn their back on me and say all kinds of evil things about me and I bless them. The Bible says, bless and curse not. Hallelujah. And if I am recognizing that a child who's converted is one who is under the authority of God. And so when people will say things against me, when people will hurt me, what comes out of my spirit? What comes out of my mouth? That is what will indicate if I'm converted or not. And so in the scriptures, we learn of King David. And King David was in a position where his son, his own son, was risen up against him. And his son Absalom had waited outside of the gates of the city and was carrying and nursing bitterness and revenge for his father for close to 40 years. Carrying this bitterness, carrying this revenge, nursing it until it was a mature revenge, until this bitterness was so devious and this unforgiveness was so gigantic that it led him now to plot and conceive treachery against his father and treason against his father. And so he waited. And the scripture says that he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And David, in the position of being king and of being father, could have waged a war against his son right then and there, could have got his men to battle and said, let's go and take out this young man, this disobedient, murderous child who has conspired against me. But David found himself on the run. David left the city. He said, I'm leaving the city. My son can go ahead and take control of the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to take the low seat and take my walk out into the wilderness. And as David was on his way out, being king, being the man that God has set in authority, the man after God's own heart, the Bible says that a man came out who was a Benjamite, who was of the family and the household of Saul, who had already been dead. And he came out, and the Bible says that he began to curse David. He began to curse him and throw rocks at him. And David has, at this time, his soldiers with him, while this meager old man is cursing him and throwing stones at him and constantly following him and oppressing him and saying such evil things about him. And David has all the power to command his men to wipe this man out. In fact, that it keeps happening until his followers have to say, David, what are you doing? Why are you not responding? Why are you allowing this man? They called him a dead dog. How can you allow this dead dog to talk to you like that? To speak to you like that, to be casting stones at you. And worse, we have to endure this humiliation as your followers, as your disciples following you, King David. Give me the command so I can go and take off his head. And David, clothed with the spirit of humility, because it was David who, after he had sinned against God and had impregnated Bathsheba and had gone through a very dark time in his life. In the book of Psalms 51, it was David who had prayed and he said, Lord, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according to your tender mercies. He said, blot out my transgressions. And as David continued to pray this prayer of repentance, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. And he continues the prayer and he says, when I am converted, then will I teach sinners your ways. And so David had gone through a conversion process. David had gone through the process of being humbled like a little child. And so David recognized that I don't fight my own battles. I don't try to justify my own cause. He learned that when I am cursed, I must bless. He learned that when I'm persecuted, I must bless. And so as Shimei is throwing the stones and cursing David, as he is bringing such reproach and shame upon David in the presence of other followers, it's one thing to speak disrespectfully to a man one-on-one, but when you do it in front of people, as men, we know how upsetting that can be. If someone was to come and spit in your face in front of all your brethren, in front of all the people that you associate with, just think of the anger that would rise up. No way, I'm not taking that. There's no way that you're going to disrespect me like that, is what many of us would say. But David, who has been converted, says, let him do so to me. Who knows if this may be a blessing that God will add to me. If I just humble myself, God can send a blessing on me. God can turn this affliction into a blessing. And so David says in Psalms chapter 141, if we can pull it up on the screen, and verse 5. Psalms 141 and verse 5. As Shimei is casting stones at him and cursing him. Listen to this verse and how it captures David's response. He says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. David, what are you saying to me? David is saying, let them smite me. That means let him punch me. Let him slap me. Let him do whatever he wants to do to me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let the rocks fall upon my head. Let him continue throwing it at me. It shall not break my head. Let him continue to curse me. I'm going to continue to bless him. Because in so doing, he says, it shall be an excellent oil. Hallelujah. It shall be this oil of gladness. This shall produce an anointing. When we are converted and we go through persecution, when we are converted and we humble ourselves, when we allow now pride to be deflated and humility to be inflated, it shall be an excellent oil. It shall produce an anointing on our lives that will allow us to rise up. It will allow us now to be exalted in the Lord. And so the scripture says that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt us in due season. And so tonight, Faith Deliverance, we are encouraged that we now have to be converted as this child. How do I know I'm converted? When people have done evil to me, when I feel like I am owed an apology, but yet my spouse has not apologized. When I know that what they did was wrong, but I am the one that is experiencing the blame. When I know that it was them who did something to betray me, but yet I am being accused of betraying. How am I going to react? If I react with a harsh word, I'm not converted yet. If I react with anger and frustration and curse them and say whatever comes to my mind, I'm still not converted. And if I'm not converted, I have no access to the kingdom of God. If someone is treating me unfairly at work, don't I have the right to stand up for myself? Jesus gives us the example. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2 and verses 21. Why can't I defend myself? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He's giving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And guile just means deceit. 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. If we could just turn this to the NLT, just so that we can understand the language here. Verse 22, he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Last verse, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Now you have turned. Now you have converted. Turn the complete opposite direction to go back in the direction of Christ. Once we were like sheep who went in our own path, who when we were insulted, we had an answer to give back. Who when we were mistreated, we held it up in our heart. We were like Absalom. We nursed that hatred. We nursed that anger. Who, when we were upset with our children, we lashed out with our tongue. We told them exactly how we feel because they need to hear. We need to be honest. We need to let them feel the hurt that they allowed us to feel. And so in this context, God is saying we must be converted. How we speak to our children is going to produce an impact in their lives that we would be blamed for. How we speak to one another, how we speak to our brethren, how we speak to our fellow co-workers is going to be brought into judgment. And so we have to be like that little child. That little child, I watch little children, I see even amongst my own kids, sometimes they have some sharp disagreements and some very bitter fights. But yet, before the end of the night, they'll be back in each other's room talking and playing games. By the next day, they're gone with their toys again outside playing together. And this is because they're not able, through the capacity of their brain, to keep a log of offenses for too long. And so when offense comes, they quickly deal with it. They quickly move past it and are able to reconcile. And so Jesus now wants us to embrace that same mindset as this little child. The disciples, when children were brought to Jesus to bless them, the disciple says, turn them away. We don't want them to come to you, Jesus. But Jesus says, suffer them to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, if you don't become like these children, you are not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, the irony of the disciples is that in this same context where they had just seen Jesus cast out the devil that they could not cast out. This is interesting that in Luke chapter 9, it's the same account where Jesus cast out the demon out of this young man. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 40, the man says, I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they could not. Verse 40, they could not do it. And we skip down to Luke 9, verses 49 and 50. John said to Jesus, this is after the fact, Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group. But Jesus said, don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you. The irony of this is that they couldn't themselves cast out a demon, but yet they had so much pride to go and tell someone else, don't try that. Don't use that name. That name is only for us to use. Even though we were not able to successfully cast out the demon, you cannot use that name to cast out anything. And so because they were so proud, because they were so fully mature and developed in their ego, they believed that they had rights and full claim on the name of God. When they were not even walking in faith to produce results, they were ready to cast down someone else that was able to produce. And they said, stop this man, stop him. But Jesus says, do not forbid them. This is time to be converted. If it's they're not against us, then they're on our part. Do not try and stop them. Do not try and take them down. What you need to do is focus on getting your own results. Focus on being converted. If you see a beam in your brother's eye, if you see mold, how are you going to try and take it out when you have a beam in your eye? How are you going to speak to someone about their pride when you can't even talk to your brother who you know has, who you have an issue against for 15 years? How are you going to tell someone to forgive someone when you're still carrying that bitter bondage for over 15 years? How is it that now we want to be grown and mature in God, but yet we're not able to start by humbling ourselves as little children? Jesus is giving us the word tonight except you be converted, except you humble yourselves as Jesus Christ did, who did not revile. When they came to take him, his own friend Judas, who he had taught for 3 years the ways of God, he could have told Judas, when Judas came and kissed him, he could have said, "You snake, you wicked, deceitful man, look how many years I poured into you. Look how many times I prayed for you. Look at the power and authority I gave you with the 12 to go and cast out devils, heal people using my name, using my authority, and now you come and betray me with a kiss? You evil hypocrite." That could have been the word that came out of Jesus' mouth. But Jesus says, "Friend." Jesus could have cursed him to eternal fire, but Jesus says, "Friend." And that word "friend," I can just imagine how that one that must have rang in Judas's spirit after he betrayed him and he saw what he had done. I can just imagine him sitting there in that little corner path in the alleyway, just grieving after the spirit of Satan had left him. And now he comes back and is hearing the word "friend, friend, friend," heaping coals of fire on his head to the point that he can't manage it. And instead of going to Jesus to repent, he goes to throw back the money. And that word "friend" just brings him to the place where he can't handle it anymore and decides to take himself out. Jesus, when they came against him, he said, "I could call legions of angels to destroy all of these men right now." After Peter took out his sword, acting in a rebellion of revenge, and cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear, Jesus could have said, "Leave the ear on the ground, let him bleed, they deserve it. Taking me and I didn't do anything to them." But Jesus took up the ear, put it back on, healed the man, and then rebuked Peter and said, "Put your sword away. Those who take the sword will die by it." Meaning, be converted. Those who live by their own agenda, offer their own strength, will die by their own strength. Put it away. What is it that you are using to produce the results that you believe are in God's order, are in God's favor? That sword of anger is not from God. The wrath of men does not produce the righteousness of God. Put away the anger. Jesus says, put it back into your sheath. Don't use it. Instead, follow me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly. Because when they speak words against me, I commit my case into the hands of God. I don't speak back because I'm a child. I let my father deal with it. I don't try and take on my own fight. I let my father deal with it. Who is fighting their own fight tonight? The Lord says you need to be converted as a little child. And we see that when Jesus, who could have but did not, when he could have reviled but did not, when he humbled himself even unto death, that the Spirit of God came and found that dead body and raised it up to the place of honor and seated him in the place that is above every other name, that now every tongue, those same tongues that reviled on him, those same tongues that mocked him, those same tongues that spat upon him, those same knees that they used to crush him and beat him to a pulp on the ground, those same knees that would have kicked him down until he had no strength left, it's those same knees and those same tongues that will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, because it is Jesus Christ who is the visible image of the invisible God. And so in the visible image, he bowed himself. He humbled himself to the invisible God. And he's given us the same mantle, the same spirit, not to avenge ourselves, but beloved, let vengeance have its place. Allow God to fight your battles. And so right now in this hour, as you are going through hard times, when people speak against you, when they hurt you, when they do things that you know they should not have done, don't fight back. Don't
resent them. Don't allow that to corrupt your heart, because the scripture says there's coming a day when you shall be exalted. Those that are humble shall be exalted, and God is going to raise you up to be a ruler in his kingdom. Your finding of rulership is not like the rich young ruler who hoarded his possessions. If it's money that you're holding on to, let go of it, because that is going to kill you. But just humble yourself. Peter said, what shall we have? We gave all. We humbled ourselves. Jesus says, you are going to have a position of rulership. You are going to be raised to a position of authority and status in the kingdom. But it starts with being converted.
And in closing, Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you. Faith deliverance, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He wants you to fall into the condemnation that Judas fell into. He wants you to die. He wants you to kill your own self by following your own selfish desires. He wants you to put that noose, that rope of ego around your neck and hang yourself, fall to your own destruction like he did. He hung himself in the heavenly realm. He put the noose of pride around him, the noose of ego around him, the noose of covetousness around him, and hung himself. He fell. Yes, the scripture says that he was cast down, but what cast him down was his own corrupted heart. And he fell. And will keep falling into a bottomless pit because he was not converted. But tonight, be like Peter, who when he was converted, he was able to bring strength to his brethren. He was able to speak life to the believers, so that on the day of Pentecost, he was able to stand up and declare that this same Christ, that same Christ that I denied, he has forgiven me. I've been converted and so can you. Yes, I cannot cast any stones at you. I cannot put any blame on you, you men of Israel, because while you were yelling, crucify him, I was yelling, I don't know him. And so the sinners in the world, although they may not be living for Jesus and they deserve judgment, yes, there are times when we do things that deserve judgment too, but now is the time of repentance. Now is the day of salvation. And so if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation in the wilderness, but take upon you that spirit that Peter took on, the spirit of repentance, who after he denied the Lord three times he confirmed, yes, Lord, you know that I love you more than these, and got up on the day of Pentecost and was ready to declare the message of repentance to the nations, so that they too could be strengthened and they too could be healed. Tonight is your night to be converted. Take on the spirit of humility, for Jesus says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't give me what you want to give me. Give me what I have required and asked for. Humility and obedience, the key hallmarks of children. Be ye converted as little children, and you will be able, you will decrease in size from a natural perspective, but you will increase in stature in the spiritual realm. So you will be able now to fit through that narrow door, that narrow gate, and enter into eternal life. Lastly, those who desire to be first in this life, who seek to be honored and seek status, will be last in the life to come. But those who are least, those who are on the smallest seat in the back of the bus with the small children, will be first in the life to come. God bless you as you seek to be converted in Jesus' name.